You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The popularity of book clubs really took off in the 90s and early 2000s as groups of people gather to explore the pages of a chosen novel or memoir. Something magical seems to happen. A small but mighty community is formed around one story. So what happens when an entire city or valley takes part in reading together? That's what happens every year with Treasure Valley Reads. Each year, the community-wide reading project asks people in Boise, Nampa, Meridian, Caldwell, and beyond to pick up the same book. This year, that selection is The Honey Bus. This is a memoir by journalist Meredith May. Meredith is joining us by phone today, along with Molly Noda of Treasure Valley Reads. Both of you, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you. This is an honor.
Thank you.
So, Molly, I want to start with you. When did Treasure Valley Reads begin, and really, what was the idea behind this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have had a community-wide reading project in the Treasure Valley, different iterations since 2001. This is our 20th year, and it's very, very exciting for us. It's modeled on other community-wide reading initiatives in bigger cities, such as Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and I'm really learning the ropes this year from my amazing boss and my co-coordinator, Mary DeWalt, the director of Ada Community Library.
And how is Treasure Valley Reads funded? I mean, how does it all work?
That is a great question. Obviously, we get a lot of funding from our community partners, the biggest being the Idaho Humanities Council grant. We cannot do what we do without that funding source, and they've been a great supporter. We also are partners with libraries across the Treasure Valley, as well as with StoryFort this year, The Cabin, The Boise Weekly. It's really a collaborative effort, rediscovered books, that sort of thing.
So do you have a kind of a guesstimate about how many people participate in this every year?
Oh, my. That is a very good question. I'd like to say the whole Treasure Valley.
Everybody.
Shuts down.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't have definitive numbers on this. I will say that we do order a lot of amazing, we order a lot of copies for our patrons to check out from the library, and they circulate really well. But for just based on checkouts, I can't.
But it's hard, probably.
I can't say, yeah.
Well, so you are a librarian in during your day job. So how long have you been involved then with this particular project? And really, I mean, kind of what drew you to this project?
Oh, well, this is my second year, actually, being involved. Probably my first year really getting to get into the nitty-gritty of the behind the scenes. Last year, I did help with the event with Tommy Orange. We selected There, There, and he did go on to get shortlisted for a Pulitzer. Won the Penn Hemingway, which was, you know, that's always exciting to be a part of, to watch kind of like a green author sort of take off into another stratosphere. But really what drew me to it was I really love Mary DeWalt. Again, she's been a great mentor, and she's been the coordinator of the program for a very long time.
So this year, the Honey Bus was selected.
That's
so
right.
How are books chosen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we never really like to get pigeonholed. And I should mention, this is our second year partnering with StoryFort.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is last year, obviously, we picked a fiction work by a male author, and not saying that, oh, now we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to really, we try to pivot as much as we can year to year. So obviously this year it's a lovely woman, a journalist, memoirist, Meredith May, and this is our first memoir as well, which we thought was really special. And really, it's a lot of collaboration with the committee. It's a lot of amazing. The reason why I love Treasure Valley Reads is because in the beginning that process is happening. What do you think if we chose this one? A lot of workshopping and that sort of thing.
So Meredith, I want to bring you into the conversation, because what does it mean for you to have your book chosen to be read by an entire community like this?
I was hoping you were going to ask that question, because if you could see me now, I'm like doing my little happy dance just listening to you guys talk about the book. It is phenomenal. I mean, it's my little story, you know, and to have so many people giving me feedback on the book and putting together an entire program. I mean, Molly, you just sent me the lineup, and I want to go to everything. You know, there's movie nights and discussions and beekeeping classes, and it's just, it's humbling. And, you know, I used to think that, you know, the biggest reward for being a writer would be to see your name on a book spine. You know, that was what I thought it was, but it's really the community that the book brings around you. And I just didn't even see it coming. And it's I just can't stop smiling.
So how do you react to that, Molly?
I mean, I love Meredith and I love this book. This actually, I order memoirs for our system, and this kind of floated on my desk. And it was really hard to explain, but I just felt a connection to it. Mm. And the book read me, quite honestly. I haven't even told Meredith this, but I definitely read the book, and it kind of just, I had to take a break from it just because I had never read something that so completely spoke to kind of complicated issues with grief and memory and loss. So the book, as Meredith has said to me, the bees are a huge part of the book, but they're the stage decoration. And it's really about survival and Meredith's grandpa, who's a really wonderful central character in the memoir.
So Meredith, talk to us a little bit about the book itself, because it is the story of your childhood and really the respite that you found at your grandfather's beekeeping operation, correct?
Yes. The quick plot is that my parents split when I was 5, and we were living on the East Coast, and very abruptly, I was put on a plane with my mom and my baby brother. And when the plane landed, we were in California, and we were moving into my mom's childhood bedroom in my grandparents' house. And my brother and I shared, and my mom all shared a bedroom. I shared the bed with my mom, and my brother was in a cot at the foot of our bed. And then my mom just spiraled into depression, and she didn't get out of bed for nearly a decade. And so my grandmother was absorbed in taking care of her. And so my brother and I, we gravitated toward my grandpa. And he was a very interesting sort of Big Sur mountain man. And he had 100 hives along the coast in Big Sur. And he would take us one at a time with him beekeeping. And he would tell us stories about how bees solve problems. And he was showing us how bees are a perfect family and how they work together and they put the needs of the group before themselves and all these things that I didn't understand until I was an adult, why he was telling us these stories about bees. And once I made the connection, I realized that he really saved us.
Yeah. What was it like, Meredith, to write about yourself? I mean, you are a journalist, so you know, mm-hmm. you can write about other people, correct? But to delve into yourself and be that vulnerable, what was that process like for you?
Excruciating. I had it beaten out of me that you never use the words I or me or say what you feel about anything. And it was really hard. It took 10 years to write the book. I had to rewrite it 3 times, mainly for that very reason you bring up, is that I thought I was being really revealing, and my editor would say, go back, peel another layer off the onion, go back. And, you know, I really had to work at that. It was so foreign to me. And you know, now that it's out, like you see the final product and you think, wow, that's really revealing. Well, I had to have it like really just pulled out of me, kicking and screaming. But now that it's out, you know, I'm okay with it. It wasn't that I was afraid to write down all the good, the bad, and the ugly about myself. It wasn't from a feeling of wanting to be private. It was just that I didn't know how to do it. It was the craft.
And isn't that interesting? Because I think people would make the assumption that as journalists, we write all the time. But this is a different process.
It is. And this was a tricky one, I think. Well, I'll just speak for myself, because I was trying to do three things in the book, and they're sort of three voices almost. You know, there's the child me who has child thoughts and reactions and speaks like a child. And then there's the adult who's reflecting back on what that particular scene meant, or what that story Grandpa told me meant, or why I'm even telling you, the reader, the story. So it was a little bit of a tricky blend. The first version I wrote in child voice, like I was trying to do like a J.D. Salinger or a Mary Carr, the Liars Club, and I just whiffed it. Like, the dialogue was terrible, and you know, it's hard. Like, they're the only two writers probably who've done it successfully,
right. Yeah.
And I just didn't know. And then the third voice I was weaving in was sort of the beekeeper, you know, teaching you about bees, but I don't want you to know I'm doing that. I want you to absorb it and learn it yourself and feel smart. So it was tricky. I really had to go back three times and put that different voice in each time. So I started with child, I added adult, and then I added beekeeper. And I was hoping that the readers wouldn't feel schizophrenic reading it.
So before I let the two of you go, Molly, you mentioned that there are some community events that go along with the actual reading of the book. Can you highlight just a couple for us quickly?
Definitely. So we have everything from classes from the Idaho Botanical Garden on native pollinators, how to identify them. We have classes on how to become a foster grandparent. Thor Hansen, the author of Buzz, will be here on February 19th as well at the Boise State University Simplot Ballroom. And of course, the keynote on March 28th with the lovely Meredith May at the Egyptian. Tickets are available on Eventbrite.
And if people want to get a copy of the book, they can go to the library, correct?
That's right, yeah. They can check out a copy at their local library or buy a copy at their independent bookstore, Rediscovered Books. We also have 2020 Treasure Valley Reads program brochures available all over the Treasure Valley, local libraries, the Cabin, at Rediscovered, lots of wonderful places. Yeah.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking about this. And what a great way to get people to pick up a book and read. Because in our busy lives, if you can just take some time to read a book, what a great pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking with author Meredith May and Molly Noda of Treasure Valley Reads. To learn more about the Treasure Valley Reads program, you can visit our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Meredith's book, The Honey Bus, it's a memoir, and it was chosen for the Treasure Valley Reads project this year. I want to thank all of you for being a part of Idaho Matters. Always appreciate you taking time out of your day to be a part of this and to engage with us through social media, comments, questions, even segment ideas. Please keep those coming. If you do have an idea for us, you can always go to idahomatters@boisestate.edu. And our producers are Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. Our production assistant is Molly Wampler. Our intern is Chloe Ball. Our theme music was written and produced by Boise musician Will Hall. And if you are looking for something to do on Valentine's Day, Will's band, Laika the Dog and New Dude, will be playing this Friday at the Bayou up in Moscow. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day. It's Monday. I hope you have a great rest of your day. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.